The world's going to classify what we do here as many different things. Old-fashioned is going to be one of those terms. We're not changing with the times. We're not going with what everyone else is doing to get a crowd or to keep a crowd. But the Word of God doesn't change. Man might think something is going to work better than something else. They might have better ideas about systems. But the Word of God will always deal with mankind. Because as much as we like to think that we're progressive and moving forward and changing and getting better as mankind, the same things are in our hearts, and the Bible deals with those things, and the Bible covers those things. So thank God for the Word of God, and thank God for His Word, the truth of it, and for young people still willing to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nehemiah chapter number 6, if you would. Nehemiah chapter 6 this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 6. We'll read some scripture and then we'll pray and kind of look through the book of Nehemiah a little bit here. Young people, you can leave. Meaning, junior church. Junior church, you can go to junior church. Yeah, parents, if you know that I'm just not paying attention, then just kick them out, you know? I mean, it's your time, parents. It's your time to sit back and, right, relax a little bit while someone else is taking the kids. Thank you. I know we have a decent rotation that handles the junior church, so if I'm forgetting, just send them on. I'll see them running off, and I'll know what, that'll remind me. Oh, yeah, kids, get out of here if you want. The rest of you are trapped. Right? They've shut the doors. They're standing outside like this. The rest of you are trapped. Nehemiah chapter number 6 this morning. Let's go ahead and start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not yet set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? And they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words, and thou hast also anointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now it shall be reported to the king according to these words, Come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou hast sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for the special music this morning. Thank you for those that have come. Lord, I pray that you would minister to their hearts. Lord, I pray you would speak through your word and through my words, Lord, that you have given. Lord, that you would bless them. Your Holy Spirit would be guide and teacher. Lord, that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people. And Lord, that we would walk from here saying, thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. And thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, there's a decent amount of people here this morning. And Lord, you know every single heart. You know where they are. You know if they're saved, if they're lost, if they're living for you, if they're not, if they're backslidden, if they're choosing to live in sin, Lord, you know everything about them. Lord, I pray you'd minister to their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy. Lord, you are a long-suffering God. Thank you for being long-suffering with me. Lord, I pray that you would just help hearts this morning. And Lord, help me to encourage. Lord, rebuke where necessary. Lord, your people. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah chapter number 6, the book of Nehemiah here, we understand, if you know anything about the book, as we kind of go through, that Nehemiah here is coming back, a burden from the Lord, being led of God, although Israel is in captivity at this time. We're probably a couple hundred years, or maybe more, past the time of captivity where Babylon has come in and carried off Judah. Israel has already, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, has already been taken into captivity. Judah has been taken into captivity as well by Babylon. And we find here that Nehemiah is in the king's court in chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. And he's doing the work and he has this burden to go back and build the walls of the city of Jerusalem for God's people, for his people. And he gets there and he looks around and he sees what there is to do and what kind of work there is to do. And in chapter number 6, verse number 3, he says this: I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work. I am doing a great work. What was that work? Well, that work was building the walls, literally, was building the walls and repairing the gates of Jerusalem that was once a world power, the headquarters of the nation of Israel under David and under Solomon. It became a world power and that worshipped God and that had things turned towards God, and the children of Israel and their hearts were turned towards the things of God. It was once a great place, and now it just sits in ruins with the people in captivity that are forgotten about. And Nehemiah says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do a work. It wasn't a work for Nehemiah. It wasn't a work for the children of Israel per se, but it was a work that God wanted to have accomplished and that God ordained. Here in Nehemiah, we can read through and we'll look at some more verses, but the heathen and those that were in the way, those that were against Israel, they hated Israel. They were against it. They were against the God of Israel. They were against everything that Israel stood for. They were against holiness as it was designed and as it was laid out by God. They hated God's holiness. And we can even see in chapter number 6 and other times in the book of Nehemiah that what was handed out was constant opposition. It was constant offering of a compromise. Well, why don't you just stop what you're doing and come and meet us in this place, and then we'll have a discussion about what's going on in this place. It was a compromise. And Nehemiah says, I don't want anything to do with compromise. I don't want anything to do with stopping this great work that we're doing for God, to get caught up and entangled in all the things that you want us to be caught up in, and all the words that you're trying to trip us up, and all these ideas and these things that you're feigning in your heart and you're making up about us. We're going to stay and we're going to stand and we're going to do a great work, the Bible says. And it was a great work. And you can look at history and you can go back and see how God used Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the city and to it become part of what it is today. Part of it being ready to have Jesus Christ walk through those gates and walk through that city of Jerusalem and preach himself crucified and raising again the third day. I'd like to say that if you are saved and if you are living for the Lord Jesus Christ, what do I mean by that? If you are actively participating in doing something for God, I mean, we can get saved and we can sit. We can get saved and do nothing. But if you're saved and if you're actively trying to do something for the cause of Christ, that you're in a great work this morning. You're in a great work. There is no work like this work. It is a great work. And there's going to be opposition, and there's going to be those that say things against you and against us as Christians, as Bible believers, as those that aren't changing with the times, as those that aren't keeping up with all the other churches and what they're doing to try to draw a crowd and bring people in and build buildings and build congregations and build offerings and build salaries. They're going to say, what are you doing? Why aren't you keeping up with what's going on? But if you're trying to do something according to the Word of God and you're trying to live a life according to the Bible, and trying to actively do something to make a difference in this world for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in a great work. You're in a great work. It doesn't matter if you're standing by yourself at the workplace or at the grocery store, or if we're gathered here, or if we're going out two by two, or if there's a multitude, you're involved in a great work. It's a great work to be able to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to say, first of all, about this great work. It's a great work because of who the work is for. Because of who the work is for. Look in Nehemiah chapter number 1. Nehemiah chapter number 1. Nehemiah finds out in the early verses here that the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates are burned with fire, and there's just a remnant of Israel that's left in Jerusalem, and they're scattered abroad, and the captivity is worse than what he had imagined it to be. And look in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive." And he prays to God. And he says, he prays unto that great and terrible God, is what he says. Listen, we serve a great God. This work that we're involved in, this ministry of serving God, is not for me. It's not for Faith Baptist Church. It's not for your family. Although all of these things, there can be good things come of that. We have young people standing up here singing a song this morning. And what is that? That's fruit of someone standing and being a part of the great work. That's fruit of that. And Lord willing, we see them grow up when they get married and have their own children and do what? Keep involved in the great work. It's fruit of all those things. But it's not just a great work for great work's sake. It's a great work because of who the work is for. Moses says that he is the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. He is a great God. Thank God, he is a great God. Job says, God is great. David says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He says, who is so great a God as our God? That's what David says. Good question. It's rhetorical. There is no God as great as our God. There is no God as great. There is no Savior outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's him and him alone. There is one mediator between God and man. Amen. The man, Christ Jesus. He's it. He's the highest of the high. He's the pinnacle of all greatness. Men lift up individuals and they praise them. They put them on pedestals and they build statues to them. And they want us to fall down and worship whoever they say is great. The Bible says those that are highly esteemed among men are often an abomination to God. Why? Because he's great. He is great. Daniel says, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. That's what Daniel said. And even here, Nehemiah says he is a great and terrible God. In the book of Hebrews, he's called our great high priest. He's called a shepherd of the sheep. That's the God we serve. He is a great God. He's not only a great God just because he's great, but he's a great God because of his kindness. The Bible says he has great kindness. The Bible says he has great goodness. He has great mercies. He's a God of great power, a God of great deliverance, a God of great love, a God of great strength. That's the God we serve. And if you're serving this God, if you're in a work, you're in a work not just for someone that's going to let you down, you're in a work for a great God. The Bible says the number of his days are great. The Bible says that God has done great things. The Bible says his name is great, his path is great, his works are great. It says that he doeth great wonders, and thank God, the Bible says, great is thy faithfulness. That's our God. That's the God of the Bible. That's worth saying amen over. Why? Because he is a great God. It's not just a great work because of this thing that we consider Christianity. It's a great work because of who we're doing it for. We serve a great God. We serve a God that is slow to anger. Look over in Nehemiah. We're going off script. Look over in Nehemiah chapter. Just keep turning. We'll get there. Chapter number 9. Nehemiah chapter number 9. the Levites have been given the Word of God, and they're coming and they're laying out the Word of God to the children of Israel who have been in captivity, and the priesthood hasn't been set up, and things are, they're trying to reestablish the things of God. In verse number 17, look about halfway down through there, talking about just they're hardened their necks in the rebellion, and it says, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." Boy, what a God we serve. Listen, it's not always on the mountaintop shouting and praising God when we're doing this great work, right? Because it is still a work. What's work involve? Work usually involves labor of some sort. So sometimes there's some laboring. Sometimes there's some questions that don't seem to have answers. Sometimes there's things that go on in this life. But you're in a great work if you're doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because number one is we serve a great God. It's who we're in the work for. I mean, what a thing when we think about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ saved your soul if you've been born again. He saved your soul. He changed your destination from of eternity from hell to heaven with Him forever. He changed your destination to this because of what He did on the cross of Calvary. And then He allows us to do something for Him. Boy, what a great thing. What a great thing, and what a great God. It's a great work because of who the work is for. Not only is it a great work, not only is it a great work because of who the work is for, it's a great work because of the sort of work that it is. The sort of work that it is. Look in Nehemiah chapter number 2, verse number 9. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 9. The Bible says, "Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Then Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days." Nehemiah gets the okay. He gets permission from the ruler over all of the kingdom. He says, "Yeah, you can go back and you can do these things." Well, when he goes back, he gets there. And then those that thought they had to control, those that were trying to keep Israel at bay and have control over everything that was going on, they were irritated about it. They were irritated that somebody was coming back, and the Bible says here, they were irritated that someone was coming to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. We don't care about these people. We don't care what's going on. And someone's coming in here and trying to rebuild a city and look over these people, and they were bothered by it. And we see that they did what they could do to hinder it and to stop the work that was going on. First thing that we have, one of the things that we have as a sort of work is to be a witness. Is to be a witness. You and I, the Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, the biblical term. What does that mean? That means that we are to be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He desires and what He wishes. The Bible says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What kind of work is this? What sort of work is this? Well, it's a work to be a witness. What does that involve? That involves taking on the care, that involves seeking the welfare of those that are around us. The world doesn't care. The world doesn't care about people. They use people to accomplish what they try to accomplish, and they cast them off to the side. The world and the system and the workplace and the job and popularity and fame and everything else, people are a fickle people. Love one minute, hate the next. You just kind of have to understand that's how people are. People have their 5 seconds of popularity and they're the greatest thing that ever happened, and 10 seconds later, they're old news. We don't care about them. We don't care what happens. Okay? We want to uplift individuals 1 minute, and the next minute, cast them off into the ditch. That's what the world does. They don't care. As long as what they got accomplished was done, as long as the voice was heard for a few minutes, as long as the machine can just keep going forward and whatever they're trying to do, we don't care about anyone. But not us as Christians. We're supposed to be different. The Bible says that we're just, some having compassion. The Bible says in Jude. What does that mean? That means that we're supposed to be different in this world. We're supposed to understand that, boy, once we got saved, and now what our eternity can be compared to what it was going to be, that should strike something in our hearts. And we should be able to say, wait a minute, other people are dying and going to hell. And we should be able to be a witness. The book of Hebrews says it's so great salvation. So great salvation. You can try to persuade. You can try to live a life. You can try to live lifestyle evangelism. What does that term? That term means if we're just good, if we just call ourselves Christians and everyone's just going to see our lives and want to just follow after our lives. That's not true. Have you been out there recently? Have you been out? Outside of these doors. And you try to be kind and you try to be nice to people and you try to say nice things to people. And when an opportunity arises, you can say, yes, I'm a Christian. Right? And people are just coming to you and saying, how can we be saved? Right? Is that just happening? They're like fish jumping in the boat. Right? That doesn't matter what I try. I can talk to the fish. I can put stuff on the line that I'm supposed to put on it. I can throw it in the right place. The fish are like, no, we don't think so. That's what happens to me. They're not hopping in my boat. Well, the same thing happens when we're out here. They're not just coming up to you and being like, are you a Christian? Now, listen, sometimes the Lord is dealing with people's hearts, and they're like ripe fruit, right? The seed's already been planted, and the Holy Spirit of God's been dealing with them, and they're ready to get saved. But that's rare, isn't it? That's rare. The Bible says, so great salvation. 1 Timothy says, great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. God sent His own Son manifest in the flesh to die for us. Matthew says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Who is that light? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was that great light. Say, well, Jesus Christ isn't here anymore. Yeah, but the Bible says, ye are the light of the world. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The light of the God that is put inside of us isn't supposed to be hidden. Right, the kids sing about it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? Remember that song if you grew up or heard it? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Is that your award-winning personality that's supposed to be shining? Not me. It doesn't work very well. It's supposed to be the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. Don't let Satan, right? I didn't want to blow into this, right? Don't let Satan, right? What is that light? That's the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what sort of work is it? 2 Corinthians says, God who delivered us from so great a death. So great a death. Boy, you think about that. You think about when you take your last breath on this side, where you were headed before the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it is great salvation. John chapter 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus Christ did. What are we to do? We're to take the news and the light of His glorious gospel and take it to someone else that doesn't have it. It's a great work. It's a great work to be able to do it, to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you can say, I go to Faith Baptist Church, and you should come. Why should they come? To meet us all? To have a party like 4th of July? No, they come to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached so they can get saved and then hopefully say, I want to live for the Lord and enjoy all of the benefits and blessings that God has given us on top of that. Salvation was the beginning of your Christian life and then all the things that God has done for you after that. Well, what a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. It's because of the sort of work that it is. It's witnessing. It's prayer. It's prayer. That's letter B under point two if you're keeping score. Witnessing. Prayer. Look in Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 7. But it came to pass that Tobiah, when Sanballat, it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Israel, against Jerusalem, and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. What happened? They went to prayer. They went to prayer. The enemies came, the enemies arose, and they came after them. They were trying to discourage them. They were angry. They were trying to put a stop to the work. And what happened? It says, we made our prayer unto God. Matthew chapter number 1, verse 35 says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Luke chapter number 22, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Who is that? That was Jesus Christ. Both of those passages were about the Lord Jesus Christ. If he said, I and my Father are one, and he arose up early, and he went when he was in agony, he went a great way off, and he was praying unto God and calling out unto God, man, what do you and I need to do? Well, the Bible tells us what we need to do. Pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible tells us. We need to pray. We need to get a hold of God. We need to have prayer lives that mean something. To where when someone calls you and says, hey, can you please pray for me? You know what you can do? You can get a hold of God. Not, yeah, hold on, I need 30 minutes to get back in contact. I might have lost his number. Right? So yeah, but God doesn't operate like that. Yeah, but you can have a whole bunch of stuff in between you and God. And you get down to pray when you need to get a hold of God, and all of a sudden the Lord's like, yeah, we need to take care of some stuff first. You ever have that happen? Yeah, it's not a good place to be in. It's hindering between you and God. Like the ceilings are brass, and you're trying to pray, but God's not hearing, and nothing's happening. You need to be able to get a hold of God when you need to. When things happen, you need to be able to get on your face and get a hold of God and pray. Pray for who? Pray for the lost. Pray for your own compassion. Lord, help me see people as souls lost and dying and going to hell. Help me to make a difference in their lives for their eternity and for your glory. Praying for the lost, praying for one another. Prayer. Why? It's a great work. It's a great work. My pastor in New York used to say, all the things that we teach our children and all the things that we desire of them to be able to do and to grow and to be able to have this skill and be able to do this thing and put them in towards this direction and put them in sports to be able to do this and be the best they can in these different areas and all these different things. He says when they're old, they're not going to be able to do any of those things. The hands aren't going to work like they used to work, and their knees aren't going to work like they used to work, and all the other things that as age creeps up on us, we lose the ability to do. But praying is never something that you'll lose the ability to do. If we could teach our children to pray and how to pray and what to pray, teach them to be able to thank God, teach them to be able to pray for one another and pray for others, then it doesn't matter what they do in this life. It'll be something that they can always do for someone else and for themselves and for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's praying. It's praying. It's part of the great work. It's part of the great work. Look in chapter number 6. Chapter number 6. Look in verse number 9. We're going to pick a couple verses out here. Verse number 9. The Bible says, for they all made us afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. There's another prayer. Look in verse number 14. Verse 13. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so in sin, and that they might have a matter of an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets, that would have put me, what, in fear, is what the Bible is. Look in verse number 19. Also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. In fear. The Bible says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. What should we have instead of fear? We should have faith. We should have faith. Faith in what? Faith in this great God that I was just talking about. Faith in this almighty God, a King of kings and Lord of lords. Faith in Him. Faith in what He has for you to do. Faith in continuing to live in this life for the things of Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to the teens just in the last hour. So much noise from this world coming into our ears constantly. So much noise, so much negativity, so many things against God and against His Christ, which is what's going to unify the Antichrist someday. He's going to come in and He's going to speak fair words, but what's He going to do? He's going to unify the world against God and against His Christ. These aren't people that just think something different about your God. These aren't the people filled with tolerance like they want you to believe. They're tolerant in anything that is against your Christ. That's why when you say I'm a Christian, they kind of, a little bit, but when you say that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a has a different tone. Why? They hate it. They hate it. You can put a scripture sign in your yard and they'll tear it down. They'll run over it. They'll get rid of it. They'll do whatever they can. Why? It's just scripture sitting in the yard doing nothing except convicting them of their sin, and they want to get rid of it. That's why they're not worried about religion. That's why the world's not worried about religion. They want to accept it. We should just all accept one another's religion. That's why the world's not concerned about religion. Religion is producing people that think they're doing good works in order to get to heaven. But when you say it's through Jesus Christ and Him alone, you've drawn a line. And the world says, we will not accept that Christ. We will not accept Him. All the noise that comes in, what does it do? You start to hear this and you hear that and you hear this and you hear that, and the devil starts whispering in your ear. And what happens? Your faith decreases. But if we can keep our eyes on that great God and that great Savior, then our faith can increase in the things that we're doing and the work that needs to be done. 1 Thessalonians says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Your work of faith. Look in chapter number 7, verse number 1. Now it came to pass when the wall was built and I had set up the doors and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hanani, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for faithful men. God's looking for faithful men and faithful women to stay in the fight and to stay in the battle and to continue to do a great work until the Lord comes back. Why? Because it is a great work. It's a great work because of who we're doing it for. It's a great work because of the sort of work that it is. Being a witness and being on our faces before God in prayer and living by faith. That's what the song says. I'm living by faith. Are you living by faith? Is your faith strengthened in the Word of God and the things of God? Or are you just barely hanging on thinking, I don't know. It's a great work, unlike any other work. Unlike any other work. It's not only a great work because of who it's for, it's not only a great work because of the sort of work that it is, it's a great work because of the amount of work there is to accomplish. Look in chapter number 3. Nehemiah chapter number 3. The amount of work there is to accomplish. Chapter 2, Nehemiah goes through at night and he's going through and he's looking at everything that had happened and the rubble that was there and the gates that were burnt down, and he's looking at all this stuff. And he's looking at the enormity of the job and he's looking at what's going on and he's saying, man, okay, What was he saying? He was saying there was a lot of work to be done. That's what he was saying. So what happens in chapter number 3? Well, he starts to divide up the work. Right? It's a pretty age-old thing. I mean, the world knows it. Divide and conquer. Right? Divide and conquer. What do we have to do? Too much work. So much work to be done. It's overwhelming. One person looks at the whole job and says, oh my goodness, how do you do this? Right? You go to the job, I have a construction background, right? So that's what I know. You go to a job and you look at the whole thing and you look at the scope of everything. And as electricians, whether we're going into a commercial building or a residential building, if it's a new construction, you walk into a brand new house, just like the one you live in, and you see all this wood and all these things that are put up and the studs, and you look at the thing and you go, man, there's nothing in here. Right? And what does it look? It looks overwhelming. We're never going to get this done. Man, I lived in Florida where I first started doing electric, and we wired new homes, big ones. They're like big new homes. 8,000 square feet, 12,000 square feet. Say, what is that? Too much space. It's too much room. It's too much space. What in the world is happening in this place? I say, what happens? You walk into those places and you just go like this. We are never going to get out of here. I'm just going to die here pulling wire. I'm just going to spend my days, all of my life, just here doing this job. But what happens? The boss comes and says, okay, you go over here and you do this part over here. And you go over here and you do this part over here. And you go over here and you get these things off the truck and you bring them to these other guys. And you go over here and you start doing this. Right? And before you know it, what happens? Little by little, you're getting work done. And you're like, oh, okay. And you look over and you're like, he got work done. And they got work done. And they got work done. Right? And before you know it, what seemed like an eternity, depending on how much work there was to do, what happens? It's not that long. I'm not still there. We got finished. We got finished and I got out of there. And I went on to the next. What is it? A lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. But what was it? Little by little, you get the work done. That's what it was. Chapter number 3, what happens? Well, they put some people together, and in verse number 1, they start rebuilding the sheep gate. Verse number 3, it's the fish gate. Verse number 6, it's the old gate. Verse 13, it's the valley gate. Verse 14, it's the dung gate. I have these underlined. All right, so if you're like looking through going, what in the world? Read it yourself. They're in there. All right. Verse 14, the dung gate. Verse 15, the gate of the fountain. Verse 26, the water gate. Not the other one. This is the original one. Young people are like, huh? Verse 28, from above, the horse gate. Verse 29, the east gate. Verse 31, gate Mipgad. What are these? These are gates. What do they do? Divide them up into people. Hey, you work on this part. You work on this part. You work on this section. They're building the wall, and there's enemies all around. And some of them are watching. They're standing watch for the enemies. Other people are working. Then they rotate. Then they're working one piece at a time. Some of them have a spear and a sword in their hand, and other people, they're building at the same time. What's going on? Little by little, piece by piece. Right? Stone by stone. Precept by precept. Line upon line. Line upon line, precept upon precept, right? It repeats itself. What's happening? Little by little, every person counts, every soul counts. There's a lot of work to accomplish. Luke chapter number 10, verse 2 says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. 9 times in the Bible, it talks about Jesus and the great multitudes. The great multitudes. When I looked it up yesterday between Chehalis and Centralia, they told me about 25,859. They were trying to be pretty specific, I guess. That's what the internet told me. 25,859 people just right here, like right outside our doors. It doesn't include Napavine where I live and Winlock and a bunch of the other towns where you tell me that's where you're from, and I go, oh, fantastic. And I can't tell you how to get there. I'm like, ah. Right? That doesn't count where we... That just counts like right here, where we are. Where you shop, where we come to church, where we might go out and get something to eat. That's right here, 25,000. That's just right here. This is where we live. That's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to be done. Thank God for the crowd here this morning. But there's a lot of work to be done. Say, how do you get it done? Well, I go to where I'm supposed to go. You go to where you're supposed to go. I talk to who I'm supposed to talk to. You talk to who you're supposed to talk to. To do what? To get the work done. To get the work done. Oh, well, no one wants to hear it. No one wants to do anything. That's not on you. That's not on me. We're to go out and to give the gospel and to reach people and to do it. Why? It's a great work. It's a great work because of who we're doing it for. It's a great work because of the kind of work we're doing. This isn't just, I mean, listen, you can go to a job and you can do things and you can, whatever it is that you have to do through your daily life, right? You always have to clean something. And you're cleaning it. Why? Because you know it's going to get dirty again. And you're like, ugh. Right? We're just constantly doing the same work. And you go, it's just over and over again. We're not doing that kind of work for the Lord. This is eternal work that we're doing for the Lord. This isn't just, okay, this is what I do. I go to church on Sunday morning and that's it. This is everlasting. This is eternal work that we're trying to accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can be a part of, that He allows us to be a part of, that we can actually be rewarded for. Well, that's crazy. We can actually be rewarded for what God tells us to do and gives us the strength to do it. It's a great work. It's a great work. I mean, we can start talking about the numbers of the people in this world. We can start talking about the numbers of people in the United States, or break it down into Washington, or break it down into Lewis County, or break it down to however we want to. The work is enormous. That's why we take money that we've earned and that we've worked hard for. And we take that money and we put it in an offering plate and we put it in an envelope and we put it in the box and we say, missions. Why? Because the work's too big. The work's too big. The Lord hasn't called you to go. Or if He has called you to go, you haven't went. If the Lord does call you, go. Right? But what is it? You're not over there. Missionary coming on deputation to South Africa. Tonight. What's going to happen? We're going to hear about the burden. You want to go? Has the Lord pricked your heart and moved your heart to go? No? So what do we do? Well, we're in America. You might not think it, but we've been blessed with a few things, and one of them is this. You say, I don't have any, I'll rub my fingers together, that's about it, right? Some of you are thinking, but what is it? The Lord's been good to us. So what can we do? We can put money. Yeah, but I want to buy, but I want the next, I want another, I want the newest, right? What can we do? We can put some money in the offering plate. To do what? Support someone that is going, that does have the call of God on their life. To do what? Reach that multitude and do that great work. There's a lot of work to be done. It's a great work because of the work that there is to be accomplished. I like to say this also. It's not only a great work because of who it's for. It's not only a great work because of the sort of work that it is. It's not only a great work just because of the amount of work there is to do. It's a great work because there are rewards for your labor. There are rewards for your labor. Say, what happened at the end? Well, there was a city there that didn't have any walls, and then when they were done with the work, there was a city that had walls. I mean, they made fun of them and said, what are you going to do? You're going to build up this rubble and put stone upon stone? Hey, you're going to build this up, and a fox is going to walk across the top of it, and it's going to fall down and crumble. They were just making fun of them. What this work that you're doing, why are you doing this? Well, we can be doing it for Him. But there's also rewards for our labor. When they got done, there was now a city with walls. What was it? It was defense. It was protection. It was theirs. They claimed some ground. Right? Why are we in this work? Why are we doing these things for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why are we saying no to the flesh all the time? Why are we trying to live holy and righteously and walk after the things of God? Why are we having this constant struggle with self and flesh and the world and the devil and all the... Why are we doing this? You know, there's great reward. there's a great reward. There's great reward and great blessings for living for the things of God and doing things after the things of God. I still have 4 kids in my house. Why are you doing the work? Well, for them. For them. My wife and I, we've talked about it. If I were to just throw the towel in, just say, whatever, I'm done. I'm done with living for God. What am I going to offer my children? What am I going to give them? Money? It comes, it goes. You make some, you spend it, you save it, you try to invest it. You do whatever it is that you do with it. It comes, it goes. Get this job so I can get the next job so I can get the next job so finally I can be the one calling all the shots. And then you get there and you're like, man, I wish I was just putting a tool belt on. Why? Oh, the grass is always greener, right? That's just the way we are. Strive and strive. When I was like a helper's helper, way back when I didn't know anything about anything, I'd see the bosses come in the polo shirts and the khakis and walking around the job site and getting back in the air-conditioned truck and leaving. I was in Florida. In the attic, hanging out 5 feet from the 5 feet from the shingles. 100 and whatever it was up there. And I was like, man, I'd like to be in a polo shirt one day, getting in and out of the truck, walking around. Well, guess what happened? One day I was wearing the polo shirt. And I was in and out. And I thought they were just walking in and out of the job, looking around. Oh, no. It was all the other things that came along with what I didn't even know was going on. It's too hot. I don't get paid enough. I need this. I need that. Right? It was dealing with all the other stuff I didn't know came along with the polo shirt. I was like, man, can I just walk into one of those big houses and feel like I'll never get done again? Can we go back to that? We're just going to climb the ladder. It's going to be fame. It's going to be fortune. It's going to be power. It's going to be, I'm going to have this job and do these things. Is that what you're going to give your kids? Is that what you're going to lay out and be an example as a parent or as a grandparent? Is that what you're going to push them towards? What is that compared to this great work? What is the end compared to what the end of this great work is? I mean, imagine the idea of getting to heaven and God looking down and you're seeing the prince in his hands and his feet and his side and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Imagine that. Imagine the humility. Imagine the thankfulness that you'll have. Knowing that it was all because of Him. This isn't just a work. It's not just a thing we do. This is a great work. I mean, this great work gives direction to our children. It holds our marriages together. This great work allows us to coexist as friends and pray for one another. I mean, you think a group this big from all of our different backgrounds, wherever you came from, however you were raised, whatever was going on, you think all of us in here would just be getting along and smiling? Right? I mean, we can disagree with people over anything. I'll disagree just to disagree. I actually agree with you, but let me play devil's advocate for no reason whatsoever. And yet, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the cross of Calvary, because we're all here, you're all here looking at me right now, but when we walk out of those doors, like we're going out unified together, hopefully shoulder to shoulder, to do what? To accomplish something in the great work. Saying, hey, let's do something for God. And there is rewards for your labor. Matthew chapter number 8, verse 24 says, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. In Mark, it says about the same passage, it says it was a great storm. But guess what happens 2 verses later by Matthew chapter number 8, verse 26. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says there was a great calm. A great calm. Yeah, I understand. This life can have tempests, it can have storms, it can have all the analogies that we want to use for the ups and downs of this life, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ and being in the great work, there is often a great calm that you and I can have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going through those things, there can be a great calm. To do what? Do something for Him. Proverbs says, if we're in this great work, that we can have great understanding, that we can have great riches, not the money kind, that there is great glory, there is great delight, there is great rejoicing. Timothy says, if we're in the work, there is great gain. Philippians says, there is great joy. 2 Peter says, there is great and precious promises. There's rewards for the labor. There's rewards for the labor. On this side, we can look around and we can say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given, for what you've provided, for what you've done for me. Even in the times of turbulence, we can say, Lord, you've been good to me. But when we get on the other side, when we get on the other side and stand before God, somebody said that our boss is heaven sent and the benefits are out of this world. In doing what? This great work. When we stand before God someday, everything that we've ever done is going to just, we're going to wish we had done more. We're going to wish we were more in the work. We're going to wish we had done more, said more, lived differently, given more, been in church more, doing all these things. We're going to wish that we have done more to be what? A part of the great work. To be a part of the great work. Boy, if you're serving God today, it sure is a great work. If you're not serving God today, man, you're missing out. You're missing out. You're missing out. I know you probably have some pretty good excuses. And I might even give you a pass. But man, you're missing out. God is calling you to His work. God is calling you to His work and saying, I've saved you. I've purchased you with my own blood. I've redeemed you. I've bought you with a price. And now I'm asking you to get involved in the work. It's not just because He'll reward you for it. He says, I'm asking you to get involved in the work. We get involved in the work and our life is better. He says, I'm asking you to get involved in the work. We don't always get what we want to get. We don't always get to do what we want to do. We don't get to stop on Sunday mornings when we see the car show for the Walt. And stay at the car show. We had a conversation this morning, that's why. What do we get to do? We get to come to church. We get to hear from God. We get to have Him lead and guide and direct us in this great work. And to do what? To encourage one another. And to be encouraged by the Word and by the Lord and by the songs. Why? So we can go out of these doors and say, I want to be a part of the great work. And come back tonight and hear a missionary that's going to be involved in the great work, Lord willing, be involved in the great work somewhere far from here. And say, they're part of the great work. And to go tomorrow to whatever it is you have to do tomorrow, work, summer vacation, finish school, do whatever it is that you're doing, drink coffee and read the paper, wherever you are in life, be a part of the great work. Do something for God. Why? Well, because of the God we serve. He's a great God. Because of the sort of work that it is. It's a great work. It's an important work. Witnessing and prayer and faith. Well, because of the amount of work there is to do. There's a large amount of work to do. But together, we can make a difference here. And it's a great work because there's rewards for our labor. And he's going to handle all that. I've already gotten more than I've earned. And we stand before God, he's going to fix it all. He's going to clear it all. Right? We're not going to get one over on the Lord. We're not going to be able to cheat the time, pad the time sheet, and cheat the system. We're not going to be able to do that. Stand before God and his righteousness and his word. Our works are going to go up in flames. Whatever we've done, that's what's going to be left. Can't cheat the system. But we are going to be rewarded for our labor. And boy, it's a great work. It's a great work. Let's bow our heads for prayer. If you're not in the work, get involved in the work. Say, what is the work? What am I supposed to be doing? Doing something for God. Doing something for Him. I understand there's a lot of things in his life and there's responsibilities in his life and there's things to do in his life. I understand that. I get all that. But what are you doing for him? What have you accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ in this last week, in this last month, in this year of 2021? Well, 2020 was so, I understand, it limited some of the work that we were able to do. But what are you going to do for the great work? Are you going to be faithful? As the instruments start to play, just bow your head and take a moment. If you want to come to an altar, there's some young people here. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for young people willing to bow a knee and talk to God. If anyone else is willing to pave the way and take a knee and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to get involved in the work? What can I do more? What have you told me to do that I'm not doing, that I need to start doing? It's a great work. This part. This part is where some of the most important decisions are ever made. After the Lord's dealt with the heart during a sermon, giving people an opportunity to speak to God and God speak to them. It's a precious time. It's not a time to figure out how quickly we can leave, but to just rest and allow God to move until we're done. Lord, what a great work it is. Called and ordained of you to be busy about your business. To us as Christians in 2021, your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, offers salvation freely to anyone who will accept it. And then, Lord, once we're saved, we're enlisted. We're enlisted as a servant. We're enlisted as a soldier. To do what? To be a part of a great work. A spiritual work, an eternal work. Something that's lasting, something that brings reward, something on this side that brings peace and joy, something that's worth giving to our children, our grandchildren, Lord, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for giving us something to do. You didn't just save us and leave us to ourselves. You led us and you guide us and you give us something to do for you. Something with purpose. We can have purpose in this life. Purpose that this world's looking for and can't find it in all the stuff. But Lord, we have it through your Son. Thank you again, Lord, for providing for us, watching over us, leading and guiding and directing. Lord, I pray to be with your people as they go out the doors this afternoon. Lord, bring them back to hear more about the great work, and to be encouraged and be ready for the week ahead, with whatever it brings. We know that you'll be there with us. You know that you'll go through it with us. You know you give us grace to handle it. We have the ability to be above our circumstances because of you. Thank you again. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.